We are joined by Craig Little, who's the Mayor of Wairoa. Now, you'd be aware that councils across the country are facing mounting pressure to consider amalgamation under the government's local government reform program. Craig is joining us to discuss concerns about the tight timeframes, local representation, Māori participation, and what the changes could mean for communities like Wairoa. Thanks for your time again. It's a rangatira. Te rā koe, Craig.
Oh, kia ora.
I mean, the time that was given right from the get-go seemed to be ill-founded. 3 months or else we'll do it for you. So you've been outspoken about the government's time frame for councils to develop voluntary amalgamation proposals. Again, can you touch on why this deadline is unrealistic? And I know that, because last time we spoke, we had the weather issue in Wairoa, and you were saying that, you know, it just wouldn't have worked as well, the community response, had the amalgamations been in practice. So starting with the compressed time frame, which seems a whack in the face, really, to councils who need to consider this one deeply.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem is with this whole reforms. They've thrown away the rule book, and they just think they can do this sort of ad hoc. They had 1989 reforms. They were really quite principled. They were, you know, worked under the Constitution, and, you know, and really were well planned. These ones are just, you know, just, oh, you know, they're saying to us, oh, it's not voluntary, you know, do what you want and that. Well, it isn't voluntary, because if we don't do it, they'll do it to us. They've told us that quite loud and clear. And 3 months is ridiculous. We've got to get out to our communities. There's so much to do. And you think you can take away the foundation of local government in 3 months. That is just, you know, gives a little bit of an indication. They might not know what local government does.
You know, well, the 3 months feels as though it would have been up already, Craig.
Well, it has. And like, we went out to our communities. We've had about 9 or 10 hui. And they were, you know, we went to Halls, we went to Marais and that. And we were told loud and clear, bar one on those hui, that, you know, we don't want to be a bar this. We want to keep what Wairoa has. We will be forgotten. And, you know, they just, but a lot of councils have jumped on and go, oh, good, we better do something. And I'm just saying, no, you should just be going out to your communities and talking about what your communities want. And, you know, it's like anything. Communities can be slow at coming out of the starting blocks to start with. And a lot of these communities that are making these decisions, or mayors, dare I say it, they might find that what they're hearing will change as they go on. And Auckland, you've always got the example of Auckland. You can talk it up as much as you like, but you talk to anybody that lives in those areas that were amalgamated, they've lost that spirit of their community, and that things aren't the same as what they used to be.
Well, what we do know is that U-turns are a governmental norm, so it's a bit rich when Bishop or whomever is put to the squeeze on councils, say, righto, you've got 3 months or we're going to do it for you. I mean, it can quite conceivably U-turn and say, oh, well, that's unachievable. We'll make it 6 months or we'll make it a year. So how are you feeling being forced to dance to the beat of the governmental drum?
Well, what the first thing we did was we put a resolution through, and every council, you should be acting within the law. This proposal to get into the Head Start within 3 months is unlawful anyway. There's no legislation that supports it. It's the policy from the government of the day, and they've got, you know, they may well change legislation after the elections. But, you know, come on, work within the rule book like you expect us to. And the biggest thing they should have said to themselves, what's broken before they start doing things like this? And what's broken is our funding tools are absolutely broken, and it just doesn't work for us. And the contribution that government give to local governments has dwindled out over the years to really not a lot to what it used to be. So that's, and the legislation we work under isn't very helpful quite often as well. So then they sort of led us up the garden path. They said, oh, we're going to do this and do that, take rate capping. And I thought, well, you know, rate capping's okay unless you have a weather event or you have some unforeseen things happen, then you can't keep within your rates level of that 4%. But, you know, the biggest thing is legislation. Give us a bit of room to work in, and don't stop criticising us. And always, when you're looking inwards, always look outwards as well and think, well, gosh, some of the spending and some of the things that we're doing probably isn't that great either. And I think it's just a smokescreen to pull on voters to say, right, councils aren't great.
It does seem politically motivated as well. And the economic squeeze, they're talking of duplication across various council rohe. But as you say, they should hold a mirror up to themselves, because we see a lot of wastage coming out of governmental spending, and that could easily marry up to or eclipse what's going on in the regions. We've heard that some smaller councils are saying, hang on a second, I don't want to amalgamate and incur the debt that some of our bigger cities carry.
Well, that's the whole thing. They think this is going to be great for the finances. Well, you're just going to have one. If you've got a council that's in a bad way, and it amalgamates with a few other councils that are in a bad way, or they're fine, because everyone's financially constrained, it's just going to be a bigger. Bigger financial strain. It's like the three waters. No funding was going to come in from the government. It just means you can borrow more money, and this is what will happen with these amalgamations. But at the end of the day, you've got to be responsible for your debt, and that's what's not what's happening across the country in some cases. You know, Wairoa, we're really conscious of what we owe and all that, and every day that's what we probably have one of the lowest debts per capita. And that's the way we want to stay. But we can do the things. We don't do the fancy things, but we can do the things that the people want or need. And we don't always get it right, by the way, too. But that'll be taken away from us. The decisions we made, if they say, hey, Hawke's Bay, you've got to amalgamate, we get examples. The regional council, you know, has made some decisions that don't really help us a lot, and we miss out on a lot of things of the Hawke's Bay Regional Council. So we see it every day. We see it in health. We see it in other government agencies. You know, you've just got to look at the banks removed. Centralisation doesn't work. And people, you know, have to pick up the pieces.
Okay. Well, we're right in the midst of it all. I'm picking that the whole COPUP is going to be shelved somewhat. We've got a few more weeks of sitting in Parliament, and then election mode kicks in. So, as you say, really, it's going to take till after November till some clarity emerges about these proposed changes. From a Māori perspective, I don't mind asking you, we've spoken of it or touched on it before, but when we look at the local government reform and proposed changes to the Resource Management Act, it's going to remove formal mana whakahono arohe agreements between councils and iwi. How significant is Māori participation in that local decision-making for Wairoa? What impact could these changes have, Craig?
Oh, it's hugely significant. You know, removing the mana whakahono arohe agreement wasn't necessary, and it's another example of government undermining councils' decision-making. Leave us alone. We know what we're doing. And at the end of the day, the council's made the decision, but the intent was to allow tangata whenua or iwi hapū to work alongside councils. But this is what's going to be removed, and what worries me, this might give some councils, that they might start thinking, well, actually, we don't need to actually work with iwi or hapū or, you know, whānau at all now, and or tangata whenua, and it just, I don't know why they're doing it. And this, my biggest concern is that the relationship could be lost, and it just wasn't necessary. It's another tool in your kitty. At the end of the day, the council's made that decision, but it gave, you know, tangata whenua that confidence to work alongside local authorities. But now I just see it has a real potential for some councils and applicants to think, you know, that that the Crown Treaty's obligations can be ignored or overridden. And this could be used as a tool not to do this. And we call it our, you know, meaningful partnerships. We get it in the front door right at the start. We probably do it a lot different than Wairoa. We all sit around the table. What is wrong with that? And, you know, some councils may not, you know, may take it the wrong way. That's my worry. And I just don't know why the government had to remove this, because they sort of led us up the garden path again. Whoomper. Removed it at the last moment.
Thanks very much for offering some perspectives again, Craig, and all the best with the mahi ahead. We'll stay in touch and talk more about it as it unfolds. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Craig Little is the Mayor of Wairoa.